Hey, neighborhood, your feedback and support goes a long way in helping NAI grow and provide the ultimate wrestling fan experience.
That's right, and now there's even more ways to take part in the community.
Just head to patreon.com today and search for New Age Insiders.
Everyone is loving their rewards, and new exclusive content is coming all the time.
And with plans starting as low as $2 a month, any support is appreciated and goes a long way towards enhancing the New Age Insiders experience.
Once again, visit patreon.com, search New Age Insiders, and take advantage of the new rewards today.
And now,
this is good old JR Jim Ross, WWE Hall of Famer, and you're listening to the New Age Insiders.
This is the New Age Insiders Wrestling Show.
Hey, this is Cody Rhodes, the Prince of Pro Wrestling, and you are listening to New Age Insiders.
With your host, Jason Maltov.
We watch wrestling to enjoy. If you're not enjoying it, why are you watching?
Liam Stryker.
If I told you once, I told you 1,000 times. Storytelling, storytelling, storytelling.
And Bill Neville.
Unpredictability is the answer. When wrestling's unpredictable, it's at its best.
This is Warbeard Hansen.
This is Johnny Mundo.
This is Donovan Dijak.
Say hello to the bad guy, Scott Hall.
This is Mean Gene Okerlund.
This is Zack Ryder.
Hi, this is Howard Finkel.
I'm Bill Goldberg, and the New Age Insiders are next.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, liftoff.
Welcome! Welcome home. Welcome back. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Hello, Stryker. I'm in hour 23 of today.
All right. I applaud you.
It's quite the grind there, buddy.
I have not been up for 23 hours.
I woke up. I was in the Middle East.
How was that? Did you at any point did you feel like genuinely unsafe?
No. Not at all. And we wandered into one of our like travel things. It's me and two other guys that that travel on these international trips, and we have a great rapport. And we one of the things that we love to do, well, at least two out of the three of us do, we love to go into the neighborhoods to find the like the hole in the wall restaurants.
Okay.
You know, that Anthony Bourdain no reservations type place.
You know, statistically, that third friend has herpes and is into feet.
Yeah, sure.
It's like a, like a, just a statistics thing that like a third of the population has genital herpes and is into foot stuff.
Okay.
So let's go with the friend you have less in common with.
Yeah, okay.
That's the herpy foot guy.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, so what did you drag your herpy friend to?
We did. He is
Did he walk on his feet?
He did.
Okay.
But we ended up going to this like in the middle of the neighborhood, and everybody looked at us like they were afraid of us.
Oh, dear.
Which was weird, but we ended...
Well, if anybody in the country had a nuke, it was probably the American.
Yeah, probably.
Especially the one with the big red beard.
Yeah. Well, they kept pointing that out.
Some sort of American lumberjack.
They actually...
Are they going to chop down all our trees?
They don't have trees. I found out that they just don't have trees. That's not a thing.
Have they evolved past the need for oxygen?
No. What has happened is that on the highway from Dubai to Abu Dhabi,
there's one tree and a fan.
Yeah, there's one tree and a fan. No, there are trees. They have lined the highway with trees, but they don't naturally grow there. Whoa. So they had to build this
like
irrigation.
Like a nuclear wasteland?
Yeah, mostly. Okay. It's mostly that.
Okay.
They're
interesting.
They love their malls.
Okay.
And they love their hotels.
More than fresh air, it sounds.
More than fresh
air.
They
prioritize fresh air last compared to shopping malls.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've heard that because Dubai's in the United Arab Emirates.
Correct.
And they're known for their architecture. Isn't it like the tallest building in the world there now?
We went to the top of the Burj Khalifa, and there is a... there is an
popular rap singer, Burj Khalifa.
Yeah, yes. I met an international pop star. I'll get to that in a minute. But we went to the Burj Khalifa, and there's an elevator, and it brings you up like 150 floors in like 70 seconds.
Wow.
And
and then you see the whole park, and then they drop you.
Well, that's what we kept saying. Every time we were like talking into like the camera, because I'm recording all of this stuff, it's just like, this feels like a more elegant version of the Tower of Terror.
Okay.
But there's projections on the side of the on the side of the elevator as you're going up, and it's just like, at this height, you're passing the Leaning Tower of Pisa. At this height, you're passing the Empire State Building. At this height, and it's just like a huge dick measuring contest all the way up.
If you stick your hand out to the right at this point, you give a high five to the Lord.
Yeah, right.
yeah, that high.
It was really cool. It was really cool to be up there. But
at what point, so it went Leaning Tower of Pisa.
Yeah, the Space Needle was space in there. Needle. I forget. The Eiffel Tower.
At what point did you get to Snoop Dogg?
Snoop Dogg? See, what actually happened...
At what point
happened,
were you as high as Snoop Dogg?
There was actually a second elevator that we got into. Oh. And then when we got to the top, that's when we were as high as Snoop Dogg.
You were as high as Snoop Dogg.
Yeah.
And the reason I ask is because Snoop Dogg's cousin is also famous. Did
what
you
a
know
transition.
That? Did you know that?
Wow. I am... So shocked that we got there.
Did you know that?
5 minutes and 43 seconds in, we just got there.
Did you know that Snoop Dogg's cousin is also famous?
Oh,
I had no
who
idea.
Who is Snoop Dogg's cousin?
Accomplished professional wrestler and panic button waiting to happen, Sasha Banks.
Woo, baby.
Is the cousin of Snoop Doggy Dogg. I love the Snoop Doggy Dogg. I went to a concert.
Did somebody subpoena him for murder?
Well, murder was the case they gave him, but he beat it. I saw him perform Doggy Style, the album, not the sexual act.
Maybe whoa. It's both.
Right, a little bit of both. From beginning to end, I went to a concert in New York with Derek, and he performed the entire album beginning to end, and it was unbelievable. He made the set look like the album cover from Doggy Style, and so he played all the hits that you
That's
came
fun.
There to see. But again, Snoop Dogg's cousin is, in her own right, a very accomplished performer and somebody that fans really tend to feel emotionally invested in. Let's politely say that.
Sure.
That if you tend to be a Sasha Banks fan, not exclusively, but if you tend to be a Sasha Banks fan, you tend to be very invested in her as a performer, and you give her a great deal of emotion and care.
Yes.
How about I politely phrase it that
way?
Sure. And some of you are cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, okay? But we've assembled a list of the five WWE superstars that we seem, at least recently, to see people freaking out about the most, one way or the other.
Right.
Now, some people love all of these performers so much that they can't handle them not having just constant success, right?
Right.
And then there's other people that think these performers are just plain terrible and not deserving of anything at all.
Right.
And I think both of those extremes tend to be off base sometimes.
Yeah.
We'll talk about what side of the fence you and I tend to lean on, and if it is, quote, time to panic with these stars. And so the name of the game will be, we will list the stars, we will tell you if it's time to panic, if it is, why, and if it's not, what I'm going to ask you is, when would it be? So for
example,
if you're not panicking with Sasha Banks today, at what point would you go, maybe she is in trouble here? You know what I mean?
Fair enough.
And so that'll be the game we play with these five superstars. Of course, we are live for a reason. A New Age Insiders at Liam NAI, Bill Neville NAI. We're live on all these social media platforms, Mixler and Twitch for a reason. So leave your comments if there's anybody in particular
that you want us to see if it's time to panic.
Exactly. We can do that as well. But we think that these five are going to be the most recurring answers. But like I said, we see you out there. We see Luke and Brandon. We see Callie. We see Mark. We see you guys listening. Mitchell and Danny and T-Hog. Shout out to TK and Connor and Lexi and Ann. We see JN. We see you guys listening. What's up, Rob? And so, again, these chats are live for a reason. The show is live for a reason. We want to hear from you as well. But we're going to kick it off right to the top. However, if it is your first time listening, if you're new and you go, who the hell are these guys? And why?
If you're watching on Twitch.
And why are you talking about Sasha Banks? And I'm sure if you think that way, you feel very strongly one way or the other about her. And we'll talk all about it. Well, my name is Jason Malta.
I am Liam Stranger.
And I'm Bill Neville.
We're the New Age Insiders. You could find us on Twitter, including during this broadcast. And please do, at New Age Insiders, at Liam NAI, at Bill Neville NAI, the website where you can find us live every Wednesday night at 8 p.m., newageinsiders.com. Make sure you're also following along to New Age Insiders Pop and NAI, the complete NAI wrestling network, all on newageinsiders.com, including what Liam is up to, Maltov in the morning. You got Late Night Liam, that movie show.
Yep.
I got Maltov in the morning. Bill is keeping this whole operation together.
Yeah, well, he's on that movie show sometimes.
We'll figure it out.
Bill is always welcome on anything.
Right.
He's just like, literally no one's home when I do Maltov in the morning.
Yeah, right.
I do it by myself.
Yeah, that's the only one, because Bill does late night Liam in that movie show with me.
Yeah, so you're always welcome.
I'm that guy behind the curtain in The Wizard of Oz.
That's more than fine.
Everything
I don't have I don't have an opener to my show because I can't push that many buttons all by myself. So you are always welcome to be part of it. And because of all of you, and a big shout out to Dylan and to Shane and to Caroline and to Danielle and everybody else that submitted one NAI topics, keep them coming. We want those to keep on rolling in, and all together we are the premier place because of you for wrestling fans to connect, discuss, and to be heard. So we started with Sasha Banks. Let's keep it rolling with Sasha Banks. So Sasha Banks fans, here's kind of how I'll preface the thing before I ask you flat out if you're a Sasha Banks fan. Is it time to panic with the boss? What I will say in the defense of fans of hers that are in panic mode, here is how I think they got here in their defense, okay? Sasha Banks, 2 years ago, a year and a half ago, maybe a year ago, but definitely a year and a half ago, which isn't that a ton of time, felt like she was going to be what I thought at one point was going to be the Roman Reigns-Seth Rollins relationship. You're the good guy, you're the bad guy, go. You know what I mean? Right. And I thought Sasha Banks was primarily going to be the good guy to Charlotte's bad guy, and they were going to be in a headlock for all of time. You know what I mean? And what I've seen happen...
Until one of them guards the Soul Stone.
Exactly. And then Spider-Man has to make them choose between being parallel vortexed forever or saving all the universes, which is just so much pressure. Captain America, what a good guy.
It's the best guy.
But what I would say, again, on like the leaning toward why are people panicking, here's why. Because now, to me, the person that was at one point on this show, either the 1 or the 1A,
right?
Now I think is 5th on the depth chart at best.
Correct.
Because I've got, in no particular order, I've got Ronda Rousey, Charlotte, Asuka, and Alexa Bliss.
Yes.
Okay? Then we can talk about Sasha Banks.
Correct.
I would tell you that Sasha Banks is a bigger priority than Bailey, if that makes you feel better. But what I won't make you feel good if you're a Sasha Banks fan is right now, as we sit today, I'm not sure Sasha Banks is a bigger priority than Naomi.
Or Nia Jax.
Right, or Nia Jax.
And that was the weirdest way I could have said Nia.
Nia Jax.
Nia.
You ever see that on the Saturday Night Live when Norm MacDonald did Weekend Update? And he goes, and the punchline was, French armpits of the Caribbean. And he goes, there are two ways to say that word, and I chose neither.
Yeah.
You could have gone with Caribbean. Could have gone with Caribbean. He went with Caribbean. So English is fun. And again, the fact that we have to have an honest discussion as to whether or not Sasha Banks is the fifth most prioritized female star, that's a slope she has slid down in not that long a time. And I bet you, just like me, would have lost a lot of money on a bet that Alexa Bliss would have lapped her. A year and a half ago?
I've been on the Alexa Bliss train since Jump Street.
But Hell in a Cell 2016, you could see the Alexa Bliss train coming down to pass Sasha Banks?
Yes.
Okay, then full credit because I didn't.
Yeah, because around then I was saying that I wanted Alexa Bliss to stay on SmackDown because ultimately the ultimate showdown was her and Charlotte.
In 2016?
Yeah.
Is that what we were talking about?
Yeah.
I'm just literally thinking whether or not this chick was up and doing big stuff at that point.
Yeah. So
Alexa Bliss was?
Yeah, she was the SmackDown Women's Champion at that point.
Really?
Yeah.
Jeez. Okay.
Yep.
She's been around a lot longer than it feels like then, I guess.
Yeah. So when it comes to Sasha Banks, I think that the big thing you have to kind of take into account, and you have to take into account with everybody on here, is that this is a scripted television program.
What?
Right? Because a lot of the stuff that comes with a lot of this, and we'll probably get it to the next one a little bit more, but if I hear the word deserve when it comes to pro wrestling again, I'm going to throw something at somebody.
You're right to.
Because this is a scripted television program, right? And this scripted television program has characters, and the characters have roles, right? Now, Daryl on The Walking Dead is a supporting character. He is not the main character. The main character of this show is Rick.
Uh-huh.
Rick is the main character. So you can like Daryl a lot, and you can be invested in a lot of the stuff that Daryl's doing and be happy with everything that he's doing. But at the end of the day, the storyline revolves around Rick. And so it's the same thing with Sasha Banks in the women's division of the, this company. In 2016, we weren't in the same position that we were, you know, now.
So what's different? We have more talent at our
disposal.
We're more
talented.
And was she not as good as we thought now that more talent has passed her by? Because I think this is 110% her mouth.
I would agree. But I also think that it comes with, you have to look at it now like the men. Right? Because we're not dealing with one or two women like we were. Because on one side, we had Charlotte and Banks. And then the other side, we had Alexa Bliss. And then Becky Lynch. But that was it. Those were the four women that we had. And that was it. And it was just like, oh, we're going to match up these four till infinity. And we're all going to be blue in the face. Well, now the women's division in WWE throughout both brands is so big and so deep that, yeah, this is going to be one of those type of deals where people are going to fall down to the pack. If Sasha Banks was the Intercontinental Champion equivalent on the women's side, I think a lot of people would feel a lot better about her because that's where she is right now.
She's like a three-time world champion for them.
Right. But, you know, the issue that the women have right now in terms of their development is that they don't have a secondary championship.
Yeah.
So you can't distract.
So, but what you're saying, though, is that you think that this is partially a talent thing.
Right.
Because I don't.
I think it's a talent thing because I think that you're prioritizing different storylines, right? You're prioritizing the main women's storyline, which just wrapped up, right?
Because, but which she hasn't been a part of in like a year.
Right, and that's fine because we've been telling the Nia Jax story. Like, not the story revolved around Nia Jax, not Sasha Banks.
Right, but don't you think that Sasha Banks could have played the role of Alexa Bliss? And Alexa Bliss is just getting that
spot
now.
She's better, right. But at the same time, can Sasha Banks now be inserted into the storyline? I think so. I think yes. So I don't think it's time to panic because I don't think, I think that on, you know, Monday, she can be involved in the actual women's title match at Money in the Bank.
Here's what we know about Sasha Banks and have for a long time now is that Sasha Banks started in Chaotic Wrestling and she got scouted and signed at 19 years old, right?
Right.
And the scouting report, because what WWE did is WWE always asks, right? They go, give us the honest scouting report on this person, right? And Chaotic Wrestling has done it for Tommaso Ciampa, has done it for Kofi Kingston, did it for Donovan Dijak, did it for Todd Hansen.
Right.
Does this for everybody where they give WWE the honest rundown because, quite frankly, their relationship with WWE is more important than with any one particular talent.
Yeah.
So your feelings getting hurt are not going to make me lie to WWE because I need them to trust my opinion.
Correct.
And trust my assessment.
Correct.
And the tag that went with her was hell of a talent, huge head, huge ego, tough to work with. Okay? That was what walked in the door with her in NXT. And then we also know for a concrete fact that in NXT, before she exploded, she was almost released, not because of talent, but because of her mouth and because of her attitude. We know for a fact from basically the most reliable source of information we have, and he's a WWE employee, that's all I'll say, is that Sasha Banks is not well-liked backstage. That oddly enough, her and Bayley are super clicky and tend to live on their own island back there.
Right.
And no one likes her.
Right.
You know what I mean? And so there's real reason to believe that this person, as a person, is tough to work with, unlikable, and no one wants to do her any favors. And the other thing you got to realize if you're Sasha Banks is, if I'm Vince McMahon, I don't fucking need you.
Right.
Are you kidding me? First of all, and this is just the sad, horrible truth, but I'm trying to be honest with you. That's what I do on this show. Vince McMahon doesn't care about women's wrestling. He's supposed to, and he says he does because you tell him to, but he doesn't. So I'm not going to break my balls over any female if I'm Vince McMahon. And now, someone with an attitude problem, get the hell out of here.
Oh,
so
absolutely.
Panic, I would tell you, don't panic, because panic means that she's never going to win another women's title. Well, that's silly. She much more likely will. Panic means that she's close to getting fired. I don't think so. But if I'm a Sasha Banks fan that at one point believed she was going to be an all-timer, I'm not convinced she's on that path anymore. I'll be honest with you there.
And that's true. That's fair.
So let me throw this at you, because we asked Matt McCool, because he's a gigantic Sasha Banks fan, and he wrote a book, so I won't quote the whole thing. But this is how Matt McCool From the three count, coming soon. We promise. We're working on it. On one,
that's the whole title.
And he's a ravenous Sasha Banks
fan. The three count. I promise. We're working on
it. Exactly. It's the working title. But Matt McCool, the biggest Sasha Banks fan we know, came to WrestleMania in Orlando with us with the signed Sasha Banks belt. The dude's a big fan. On one side, I completely understand why fans feel frustrated with her push, lack of push, whatever you want to call it. In my opinion, her match quality is the most consistent. Literally, she gets the best out of any opponent. She's insanely popular, sells so much merchandise. However, I get the other side as well and believe this. Sasha Banks will be just fine. She doesn't have to have the title. Doesn't mean she's not relevant. The rumor is Vince loves the boss character. And with her looming heel turn, she will be have a great title run that she's earned. So Matt is not panicking.
Right.
And he's a huge fan. And I think he understands both sides of it. But Sasha Banks fans are second only to Roman Reigns fans and like CM Punk fans. And like, this is what I will say to Sasha Banks fans respectfully, okay? You have got to stop making up these straw man reasons that she's not the most successful woman in the world right now. It is not because she's black. Because Naomi's a thing and won the Rumble. Yeah. And guys, you got to get over. You know what the WWE is? I swear to God. You know what the WWE is? The WWE is Boston. And it used to be a racist cesspool.
Yeah,
and
okay.
Now it's not anymore. But and we still can't get over it.
Right.
And are there still things looming? Do I think the WWE is the most tolerant place in the whole wide world?
No.
Of course not. We still haven't had a black WWE champion. I hear you. But Boston in the 60s used to be like, get beat up for being black. And now we live in Boston, and that ain't that town anymore, man.
Yeah,
I don't know racist, bigot people from this town anymore.
Yeah.
And that's what WWE is not the 80s anymore. And
right.
Sasha Banks has, there. I guarantee you, I believe this in all my heart and soul, there has been zero decisions made about Sasha Banks based on the color of her skin.
Yeah.
I just don't believe that.
Yeah, because Naomi, if anything, she's had a better career up until this point than Naomi.
Right, and we don't bring Snoop Dogg to play you down to the ring and rent these limos and all this stuff.
If we don't like you.
Three-time women's champion. And again, if we didn't know what we knew about her attitude, I'd be like, what is going on here? But now that we know what we know, if you told me this chick walked herself right out the door, I believe it. Talked herself right out the door.
Yeah,
I believe it 110%.
Right, because this seems like a creative. This seems more like a creative issue with her, right? Because when you're in a sketch group, right, and this is just from a personal experience, right? If you're in a sketch group and you don't like somebody,
yep,
and you're responsible for writing the material for each other, I'm not going to write something for you if I don't like you.
Yeah, I'm not going to give you the good lines.
I'm not going to give you the good lines.
Yeah.
I'm not going to give you the good stories. I'm not going to give you the fun sketches to be in.
Yep.
Right? I'm going to give it to the people I do like. Well, maybe she's pissed off so many producers and writers that it's like, yeah, a spot that was destined for her. I think Alexa Bliss has taken her.
That's the one.
She's taken the ball, got into a rocket ship, and drove it to Jupiter.
If you never watched NXT and I told you, who was the dominant, cocky boss character down there, you'd have to believe it's Alexa Bliss.
Right, and it's not.
You know
it's
what I mean?
Right,
over
exactly.
The two of them.
Over the two of them, right, correct. You would not realize that the one that's right now the better women's wrestler never wrestled.
Exactly.
Because she was a manager for a tag team that isn't a tag team
And when
anymore.
She did, she was a fucking pixie.
Yes.
Her character
right.
was Tinkerbell.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yes, correct. And so it's like, yeah, I think that Alexa Bliss got the opportunity on SmackDown where she was in a completely different show,
yep.
but she got the opportunity and she created the monster that is Alexa Bliss. And I think, yeah, that was for Sasha Banks. And I think that it was just harder to work with.
We talk about it all the time on this show. We talk about it with guys that work in the business. Guys like referee Kevin Quinn, right, that goes around
right.
the country, works with big time guys, works with the Bucks, works with Cody, works with all these independent stars you love, Ospreay and
everybody.
Everybody, right?
International people.
And he and I, every time we talk before a show, he always says the same thing. The jerks stop getting booked and the good guys keep coming back. In this business, you are much more likely to be successful if you are well-liked than talented. You know what I mean?
Correct.
The fact that The Undertaker was good is a bonus because you're 7 feet tall and I like you.
Yeah, look at The Big Show. The Big Show hasn't been good for 10, 15 years.
Right. Like, you know why AJ Styles took off like a rocket ship? Because he showed up and shares a lot of Vince McMahon's political ideology. So he's like, God damn it, I like you. You know what I mean? And look at him now. You know what I mean? And now he's a super megastar.
Yeah.
And so you are more likely to have success if you are well-liked than well-received.
Yeah.
And look, I guarantee you Vince just likes Roman Reigns.
He likes Joanna Wine.
You know, he's just like, I don't care. I like you.
I like Joanna Wine. Yeah.
And so if Sasha Banks, now, just to wrap it up, panic. I wouldn't say panic, because again, panic means no more championships. Panic means close to getting fired. But do I think that this girl's top slot is already gone and being a consistent main eventer is slip sliding away on her? I do think that.
Yeah.
But I also think that if you're Sasha Banks diehard, you got to stop freaking out every time she loses. She's 25 years old, won multiple titles, selling merch. She's still a priority. Fifth at best, but somewhere on the list. There's a lot of guys and a lot of gals that would like to be in the top five.
Yeah.
And so...
Well, because look at the men. Look at the men, right? And so, because we're comparing on both sides, right? And we're talking about a pool that consists of Roman Reigns, John Cena, AJ Styles, Brock Lesnar, Shinsuke Nakamura, Kevin Owens,
Braun Strowman,
Finn Balor, Braun Strowman. I mean, I listed more than five,
right?
But that's the top five for the men.
Yep.
So yeah,
exactly. So don't panic. And the biggest thing I'll say as we move on to our next contestant is, I really think you do yourself a disservice, because with all the love and respect in the world, I think you sound pretty ignorant when you say that Sasha Banks just lost because she's black.
Yeah.
And I just think, like, guys, you're creating this awful straw man in your own head, and this girl might just be a pain in the ass.
Right.
You know what I mean? Speaking of girls that caused a whole bunch of controversy on the internet this week, God forbid the greatest women's wrestler of all time win a match against a rookie, but Peyton Royce was against Charlotte in the Money in the Bank, Women's Money in the Bank qualifier on this week's SmackDown.
Right.
Charlotte won relatively convincingly. Charlotte goes to the Money in the Bank, and as of now, Peyton Royce doesn't.
Yeah.
This is how I want to preface this before I open it up and say to you, really quick, just because we didn't do it. When will you panic about Sasha Banks?
I'll panic with Sasha Banks when she misses time, like significant time on TV, not due to injury.
Gotcha. Peyton Royce didn't win. Again, something that people I think need to keep in mind is if she lost, she wasn't eliminated from all contention forever.
Right.
She still might get in. I'll also preface it by saying that I want Billie Kay and Peyton Royce to both get in, because I think they can help each other win and that'd be a ton of fun. However, of course Charlotte won.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah.
This is John Cena versus the Velveteen Dream.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, Cena won. You know what I mean? Like, of course he did. So what I'll say to you, and because this one's not about Charlotte, this one's about Peyton Royce.
Yeah.
We can open it up to NXT call-ups in general, because there's an interesting parallel on the other show. But what I'll say is, if you have a problem with Peyton Royce having to face Charlotte because now you put her in a can't-win booking situation,
right,
that's just a complaint. Why couldn't Peyton Royce just get in the thing and beat Becky Lynch and who cares?
Right. Well, because Becky Lynch didn't win.
That's a very valid complaint, and I'll take it. But once the match was made, of course Charlotte won. Of course she did.
Yeah.
We're going to make her the greatest women's wrestler of all time. And people that tweet it out and they go, you know, she only gets stuff because of her name. I think
you, here's the thing. I respectfully disagree with all of that. Because here's the thing. None of you watched in the beginning. I know you didn't, because it was on Hulu, and it wasn't easy, right? Charlotte sucked.
I know.
She was so bad in the beginning. Like, so bad that I would agree with that statement when Paige had to relinquish the NXT women's title because she won the Divas title on her first night on Raw. Fun story. So they ended up having Natty versus Charlotte in this, like
the finals of a tournament.
Finals of a tournament.
Yeah.
And Charlotte was horrendous. She was terrible. It was not fun to watch. And over the course of the NXT development of her, she ended up joining the BFFs, which was Summer Rae and Sasha, and basically flourished in that group, became an amazing performer, and has been the best women's wrestler I've ever seen.
Yep. And so here's the thing about getting handed opportunities, because I want to talk about Billie Kay and Peyton Royce specifically, but let's talk about the Charlotte part of it. Charlotte, so when you say to me, Charlotte, it was given everything, I will take 5% of that. I won't completely dismiss
it. She got into NXT without ever having to wrestle.
And I believe that she got more attention, more time, more effort, more than the average woman? Yeah, sure. But guess who else did? Randy Orton.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Cody Rhodes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Cody Rhodes has said this on our show. He goes, I wasn't even ready to debut when they called me up. They were just like, you're Dusty's son. Get up there.
Yeah.
He even doesn't think he was ready to go when he debuted. Randy Orton? Randy Orton was some skinny kid covered in generic tribal tattoos.
Right. Who got booted out of the military.
And right. And who got in the door because his dad was Cowboy Bob and made the phone call. Why do you think we tried so goddamn hard with The Rock? Because he right. was two guys' kids. You know
Roman
what I mean?
Reigns.
Wait, one guy's grandson. And one guy's kid, and we like you, so we're gonna try.
The Usos,
right? And so, yeah, they're Rikishi's sons. You know what I mean? How do you think Too Cool became a thing? One of them was Jerry Lawler's kid.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And so it's like, yeah, legacies. Literally, the remember Ted DiBiase Jr. Literally, they had a fucking stable called Legacy.
Yeah, right.
Legacies get the door opened a lot faster and easier, but. If you think that Charlotte...
Because I don't even remember, but going back to the legacy, there was a Samoan. There was a Samoan in that stable for like a hot second.
Sure.
But he couldn't hack it.
Literally, you know who... Do you like Bray Wyatt?
Yeah.
You don't think that him being Barry Windham's grandson helped a ton?
Yeah.
You know
or his dad being IRS?
Exactly. And his dad is Irwin R. Scheister. And it's like, yes, we use these guys because you know who their dads are. And maybe your dad will take you to the show. You know what I mean? Because your dad likes his dad.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And so, yeah, of course Charlotte has got extra time and attention. But like I said, just like Randy Orton, just like The Rock, just like Bray Wyatt, just like Natty, just like all of these people with a famous relative got opportunities in the beginning that they wouldn't have otherwise. But then you know what Charlotte did with it? She took it and she became elite.
Yes.
And so if you want to give her shit for a couple of years ago for, you're right, stinking up the joint and not getting cut, fine. But everything that girl yeah. does now, she earned. And quite frankly... If there's, like, say we're on the fence, and
right.
say we're either going to give this thing to Charlotte or we're going to give this thing to Alexa Bliss, I'm going to use Charlotte every time because she's Ric Flair's kid.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, of course I'm going to use that and milk all the money I can out of
right.
that.
And,
of course I
and this
am.
Goes back to, this goes back to, deserved is a terrible word and it
oh,
should be banned.
God damn it.
And everything is earned. Everything is earned. Charlotte has earned everything that she's gotten.
Right. And even if she isn't, I'm making more money off of her. And it's what wrestling is.
Right.
You know what I mean?
But that's the thing. That's part of it. And I think a part that fans don't understand is that, yeah, you put yourself in a position to make you worth the money. To make you worth the money. William Regal, he said to us at that weird Tarantino 99 lunch.
Yeah, we did have lunch with
that we
William
had,
Regal.
He goes, I wasn't a good pro wrestler. And we're like, why? And why, William Regal? Because the internet would disagree.
Yeah.
And he goes, because nobody ever paid to see me.
Yep.
Right? You have to earn the right to have people pay to see you.
Yep.
Charlotte has worked her ass off to earn the right to be paid, have people pay to see her.
Yep.
So, yeah, she deserves everything she gets because she's earned it. And now to shift to the main focus of this with the NXT call-ups, and this goes to everybody. This goes for every single time because I'm going to even talk about how people were mad that the Velveteen Dream didn't win the North American Championship. And it's like, guys, these people have been in this company, right?
Yeah.
And on an NXT level, like for like the Velveteen Dream example, he's been in the company for 3 to 5 months.
He's wrestled for like 2 years.
Right.
Like total.
And here's the thing. Adam Cole was always the right decision.
Yeah.
You need to give the new belt to the person that is the most popular so that they care about it.
Yeah.
That's Wrestling 101.
NXT is a secret mission of NXT is
right.
to slowly draw in the hipsters.
Yep.
And so what, right. what did Adam Cole do? Adam Cole won a thing. I'll watch Adam Cole
right.
win a thing. And then if you watch that match, you go, holy shit, was the whole pay-per-view this good? And everybody goes, yeah. And then you're like, oh, look at me. I like NXT now.
Yeah, look at me.
You know
look
what
at,
I mean?
Look
and
the oh, I liked Ring of Honor 4 years ago, and everybody's here.
And Velveteen Dream is a talent and gonna win stuff and might be a few, maybe the next North American champion.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Who knows?
But you can't panic when the Velveteen Dream doesn't win everything right away.
Right. Correct.
And like the thing I'll equate it to is like Jake the Snake Roberts did not win a World Wrestling Federation title of any variety.
Zero.
Period. Not a tag champ, not an intercontinental champ. That guy, I'm not sure, ever won a game of cards backstage.
Yeah,
all
right?
And so Jake the Snake is a Hall of Fame talent, but not everybody wins titles. And so for Velveteen Dream, if he winds up winning two or three, like a North American title,
right,
maybe even the NXT title, maybe a United States title, because he did better than most.
Because the Velveteen Dream, in my mind, is what Goldust looks like in 2018.
Sure.
That's what Goldust... Sure. We can't do Goldust with a ball gag and all that.
Nor should we.
And nor should we. But we can't do that stuff in 2018. So the Velveteen Dream is this weird androgynous character, and
yep.
This is...
No, I get you.
So this is what it looks like in 2018. And I would say Goldust is a Hall of Famer.
No brainer.
You know what I mean?
No brainer.
So it's like,
he can get that Mark Henry second place slot if he wanted to.
Right. And Goldust never won a WWE championship.
Yeah, right. And
I'm not even sure if he won an NXT champion. I mean, an Intercontinental championship.
Yeah, he did. He's a multiple-time Intercontinental champion.
But to go back to Peyton Royce and Billy Kay, guys, they've been on the main roster for 4 weeks.
For a minute.
For 4 weeks.
For 1 minute.
Right, because they got here, and immediately we are focused on the Greatest Royal Rumble, which they're not a part of.
Yep.
So who cares? They're on the back burner. And then we come back to Money in the Bank, and they were a part of the biggest storyline leading into Backlash.
Yep.
It's weird. It's weird how their debut was huge to screw over Charlotte, to let the cash in happen.
They're a big deal already.
They're a huge deal already. So if
feel bad for No Way Jose, who's just got Adam Rose's gimmick, and he'll be gone in the company in 6 months.
Correct. That's a guy to panic about.
Yeah.
That's a guy to panic about.
Has he wrestled yet?
Right. He's got Apollo Crews written all over him. That's a guy. That's a call up to be panicking about.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, if you're a diehard No Way Jose fan, give that energy to him.
Yeah, because Peyton Royce and Billy Kay are going to be fine. Hell, they might even develop a women's tag team title for them.
I tweeted out during SmackDown, I go, if you think that Peyton Royce deserves, in that awful word, I put in quotes, deserves anything after being on this roster for 5 minutes,
right,
you're crazy. She deserves to beat Charlotte. She deserves that. So Charlotte's been going across the country for the last few years. The last few weeks, she's been in every country in the fucking world. The WWE went to every country in the world last week, right? She has reshaped women's wrestling in this company and across the planet.
Main event WrestleMania.
Exactly. She has reshaped, even what she's already done to date, she was one of the women that made it from a butterfly tattoo to a real championship, from divas to superstars. She is a driving force in that movement. And all of a sudden, Billy Kay and Peyton Royce are funny, and so they deserve to beat Charlotte Flair? What are you talking about? Now, again, if you were to come and tweet about how, like, man, I wish they didn't. Why'd they match them up together?
Because I feel like that's what happened last year at the Money in the Bank.
The matchups were weird.
Where there was a couple of matchups on the men's side of things.
Yeah.
Where it was just like, well, I don't want Finn Balor to face Seth Rollins because I want them both to be in it.
It was like, I remember going to the King of the Ring 2000 and the opening contest was Jericho versus Angle. I'm like, why isn't this the finals?
Yeah,
You know what I mean? Right. I want them both to move on.
Right. I want them both to move on. I want them both to win.
This is the only time I get to see Chris Jericho wrestle? What?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Right. He could have wrestled three times tonight.
Yeah.
Damn it.
Yeah, right.
The reason they bring that up is because of Ember Moon. And because Ember Moon got in, I go, well, you know, you haven't been here, you don't deserve it. And they go, oh, so you have a problem with Ember Moon winning? No, because here's the reason. One, Ember Moon didn't pin Sasha Banks, everybody. Relax. She pinned, what, Mickie James?
Yeah.
Which is why Mickie James is flipping here to lose to Ember Moon.
Right.
And second of all, no, because look what we did. We took care of an NXT recent call-up, and we protected the greatest women's wrestler who got it back.
Here's also the biggest difference. Peyton Royce and Billy Kay are not a former NXT women's champion.
Yeah, and they can wind up getting in. I think they will.
Right, because we're inevitably going to have four matches where it's like everybody that's gotten eliminated in like a six-way scramble,
right,
and the winner gets the last spot.
Isn't that what we do with the Elimination Chamber?
Yeah.
Where we had like one final match where everybody that didn't get in
gets one. And that's how Finn Balor got in.
Exactly. Mile High Villain says Manu was the NXT Samoan guy.
No, because Manu was in Legacy.
Okay, the Legacy. That's right.
He was in it for a hot second.
And it says that is who you become with no drive. I don't know what that means. Maybe
he didn't like it. He didn't like it.
Wasn't good enough. Okay, and so NXT call-ups though. Peyton Royce.
Right.
Do you panic?
No, because again, I think that by the time SummerSlam rolls around, we're going to have we're going to have women's tag team titles.
Yeah.
And they're going to be the first tag team title holders.
If every time if every time we do these call-ups, they win something huge right away, it stops being special. Paige shocked everybody by beating AJ Lee.
Right.
Kevin Owens shocked the universe by pinning John Cena. If every single NXT right. call-up comes and beats an established star, it'll stop feeling special and it'll start blurring the waters as to who's the best.
Right.
So over here, we took care of one of the NXT right. call-ups, and over there, a heel, a bad guy lost, the ultimate good guy got back in the win column, and maybe Charlotte shouldn't have faced Peyton Royce to get in. Maybe. But once the match was made, the right person won. Don't panic for NXT call-ups. Panic yeah. for Jose.
Yeah. If you, that's a guy worth panicking about.
But don't panic for Peyton Royce.
Panic when Lars Sullivan gets here.
Oy.
Because Lars Sullivan, he has to, like, he can't be on Raw. He just can't be. Because
he's Braun Strowman.
He's Braun Strowman, Bobby Lashley, Brock Lesnar. He's all three of those guys.
He's kind of like both Harper and Rowan.
Right, right. Yeah. And all three of those guys are far better than Lars Flippin' Sullivan.
You're right. And so don't panic for the NXT call-ups until you get to a point where it's either like Jose, where it's like, what's going on? Or somebody that, I mean, the Ascension. You know what I mean?
Right.
Those guys are over. They blew it. They'll never be a thing, okay? But, like, yeah, Peyton Royce,
right.
You can't panic about Peyton Royce already. You just, for your sanity,
I know, well,
you can't panic over well, Peyton here's the Royce
thing.
Right now.
Here's the thing, guys, and this will, we're going to take a break because Bill's flipping out.
A lot of fingers.
A lot of fingers. No.
You need to take a break or go on to the next one.
Oh, sure.
Whatever you want to do.
Sure.
We'll take a quick break,
but
and then we'll come back.
Before we go to the break, the big thing with all of these is this is a scripted television show, guys.
Yeah.
Like, stop feeling like the commissioner is screwing your baseball team.
Yeah, I understand. And I also understand fans that are passionate about who they like. Like, you know, I like Brock Lesnar. And so when people tend to go like Brock Lesnar blows, I go like, you don't get it. Oh, he's great. So I understand having favorites and
right.
stuff. I really do.
We're going to talk about my guy after the break.
Exactly. Brandon Banks is listening live. And he says, do we panic about Kevin Owens? Well, Brandon, when we come back from the break, we will find out if it's time to panic about one Mr. Kevin Owens. And there are even more superstars on the list. And we will find out if it is time to panic together. The New Age Insiders will be right back.
Retired business executive and seasoned dad, Jamie Jamikowski.
And I'm a rookie dad and local independent wrestler, Scotty Slade, and we're the hosts of For the Pops.
We're the only podcast on the NAI Pop Network that has a mix of sports, wrestling, and pop culture all in under an hour.
This is a place where two pops talk about the topics that interest us with a special guest in each episode.
And we have a splash of pop culture information to help us survive in our world of wives, kids, and coworkers.
And at the end of each episode, if that wasn't enough, Jamie tests both our guest and I on obscure pop culture facts in an exclusive segment called For the Pops Quiz.
So don't miss For the Pops with Scotty Slade and me, Jamie Jamikowski, only on the NAI Pop Network.
Hey, neighborhood. Your feedback and support goes a long way in helping NAI grow and provide the ultimate wrestling fan experience.
That's right. And now there's even more ways to take part in the community.
Just head to patreon.com today and search for New Age Insiders.
Everyone is loving their rewards and new exclusive content is coming all the time.
And with plans starting as low as $2 a month, any support is appreciated and goes a long way towards enhancing the New Age Insiders experience.
Once again, visit patreon.com, search New Age Insiders, and take advantage of the new rewards today.
You know, it's pretty crazy, but NAI Pod has now been downloaded on 6 continents and has thousands of weekly listeners.
Yeah, step it up, Antarctica.
Does that make us intercontinental champions?
Kinda, but it also means NAI Pod is a great way to advertise your business, brand, or website.
If you would like to advertise with the New Age Insiders, shoot us an email.
newageinsiders at gmail.com.
Tap into a constantly growing audience, advertise with the New Age Insiders, and take your business to main event heights. Send your emails to newageinsiders@gmail.com. That's newageinsiders@gmail.com.
You know the New Age Insiders Wrestling Show is the premier place for wrestling fans to connect, discuss, and to be heard.
But what if we told you that there's also a show for fans of all kinds to do the same?
That show is Late Night Liam, show hosted by myself, Liam Stryker.
And me, Bill Neville. Join us immediately following NAI Pod every Wednesday as we dive into pop culture, sports, current events, and more.
Can't listen live? No worries. Late Night Liam can be downloaded on demand exclusively on the NAI Network channel. Available on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic, and all podcast platforms.
Once again, join Late Night Liam live every Wednesday following NAI Pod.
When you and fans of all kinds can connect, discuss, and be heard.
This is the New Age Insiders Wrestling Show with your hosts Jason Maltov, Liam Stryker, and Bill Neville.
I love Kevin Owens.
Yeah, I'm. Colin hates it when I say this, but I no longer care for Sami Zayn because of how much I like Kevin Owens.
Well, I mean, look, that's fair. Here's the thing. Nobody in forever has talked about. You know what would be really cool if Kevin Steen came back.
Yeah,
but everybody pines for Generico.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And it's because Owens and Steen are one and the same.
They are.
Almost.
They're close.
I think Kevin Owens is soft as dog shit right now. I got to be honest with you. The character.
Yeah, right.
The character.
Right.
It's just unrecognizable and I hate it. So let's talk about Kevin Owens. If you're just tuning in, if you're late to the broadcast or watching us on a YouTube clip or whatever, we're playing the game of Time to Panic, where we're taking the five superstars that fans seem to be panicking about the most or reacting to in the biggest fashion the most and talk about where they are and whether or not it is time to panic. Again, I didn't do my job. You're not panicking about Peyton Royce, right? When would you panic about Peyton Royce?
When would I panic about Peyton Royce? Again, I would panic about Peyton Royce when she's not on TV, right? And I know that that's the answer that I gave for both of them, but that's kind of how I would feel. Is you're
if they
not,
both if they're not if both of them don't wind up in the briefcase at all, and then just sort of like start
not being on every week and not
dealing with Charlotte anymore, then I guess
because like No Way Jose, I would start panicking now. Because
he'll be gone in 6 months.
You're dancing down to the ring and then getting beat up.
Right. So Rob is panicking for Kevin Owens. And so here's how because I'm going to take the side of, I think it's, panic is always a strong word, but it's the name of the game. And so if I had to pick one way or the other, yeah. I think you might want to start panicking about Kevin Owens a little bit because here's why. Okay. Kevin Owens, the reason that I would say we might be getting into panic territory is this. Kevin Owens debuted perfectly. And Kevin Owens' appeal is almost entirely character-based. His matches are excellent. So I'm not saying that it's Hulk Hogan, where if you tell Hulk Hogan he can't rip his shirt and flex anymore, well, what the hell am I going to do out there? Because Kevin Owens is also the bell rings and he's excellent, right?
Right.
So it's not strictly personality that Kevin Owens over. However, what I think made him so magnetic, what you've got to do, if we're talking about WWE fans, is pretend that you had never heard of or seen Kevin Steen.
Right.
So Kevin Owens was born at NXT TakeOver when he smashed CJ Parker to pieces and ruined Sami Zayn's night.
Yes.
That's the day he was born into the world of pro wrestling.
Correct.
And it was a compelling, mean character. His first NXT, second NXT match, I think, ever was beating Sami Zayn up so bad the refs stopped the match and gave him the belt. Amazing. He debuts on Raw and beats John Cena in his debut. You know what I mean? And that's amazing.
Right.
And so, and then his character, yes, I said it. I said the C word in WWE. Character.
Yes.
Goes, I am here to make the most money for my family. The most money is in this company, and they pay extra for championship matches. So I'm here to win all the belts because I'm just here. I like to fight. I like to cash checks. And you go, oh, my God, I understand his character motivation. He's like if Brock thought things. You know what I mean? It's like if Brock Lesnar could think. You know what I mean? That's why Brock's here too. It just, if you go into Brock Lesnar's head, it's like a cartoon where it's just like a bird playing a banjo going like, boo-doo-boo-da-doo-da-doo. Yeah, that's Brock Lesnar. You know what I mean? Inside that guy's head.
A bird playing a banjo?
Right. That's what, you know, Brock Lesnar is.
Is Banjo-Kazooie?
Brock Lesnar's brain is powered by a hamster on a wheel.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? And so if he could think, he would be Kevin Owens. And Kevin Owens was awesome because that character was awesome and his matches were good. And you're like, oh, this guy is a legitimate ass-kicking machine. I love it, right?
Right.
And then I don't know when it happened. I don't know what the day is. But now all he is somebody going around the locker room looking for best friends.
Yeah.
And then betraying them.
It was with Jericho. It was with Jericho, and this is what ends up happening when...
But even the Sami Zayn thing. Right away, they were best friends that betrayed each other.
Right.
Right away.
Right. But we're talking about the... So, with Kevin Owens, I don't think it's time to panic. And the only reason I don't think it's time to panic right now is because of what happened at Backlash. Now, that was a dog shit pay-per-view, right?
Yeah.
But...
Not a good one.
But there was a moment in there where Sami Zayn... basically struck Kevin Owens.
Okay.
And so I think that this is going to be a face turn for Kevin Owens. Or that's what ultimately is going to be to come of this.
Okay.
Hopefully sooner rather than later.
Yeah.
And I'm excited for that. And that's why I'm not ready to panic.
Okay.
But yeah, if we were to just keep skipping down this yup movement road, but because they even brought it up on Raw when they talked about how Sami Zayn said, do you have my back? And their whole thing has been, yup. Like, yup, yup, yup.
Yeah, right.
And he goes, yeah. And so,
yeah,
that's significant.
You're not wrong, but I got to tell you, new character development to Kevin Owens. Ooh, cool. Face turn. See him work as a face for the first time in his company. Ooh, cool.
Right.
And he's going to do it with Sami Zayn. I've just lost all interest. I am asleep. You might as well have unplugged me from the wall. My energy went away immediately. I don't care about him and Sami Zayn anymore.
But,
I don't.
Right. And that's the unfortunate thing. And this is where I would even say to you, look, we got to get through that then. Right, we got to get through.
Yeah.
If this is going to start a huge character shift for him, we got to get through Sami Zayn first to then have the fun after.
Yeah,
That's why.
It's only because we voluntarily kept putting them together all the time.
Right, and that's fine, but it's not time. These little moments are reasons why it's not time to panic.
I
agree. Had these moments not happened, it would be time to panic because they're not floating around the tag team scene as like contenders, like credible contenders for the tag team.
They're not even a tag team.
They're like not really a tag team.
They're
just in tag matches against other people. So yeah, I would say it's time to panic if that's what they were doing. But they were in a very compelling story leading up to WrestleMania. The Daniel Bryan, Shane McMahon fight thing, getting fired, the fact that they were still fired, everything about this has been compelling, right? And then it ended. It was over. The brand shift ended, or the shakeup happened, and they just got hired to Raw. As soon as that happened, that's when it's like, uh-oh, I don't know if it's time to panic yet, but it's only been 2 or 3 weeks.
Here's the reason that I think I'm going to take the other side of this and go, yeah, if you're a Kevin Owens fan, you can start to panic. And I know Rob's out there panicking, and I think you can start to get nervous, because here's why. You're starting to do irreparable damage to the character, because now you're telling me WWE, right, between Chris Jericho, this guy was just like, you're my best friend and all that stuff, and it's just like, well... okay, this is a little lame for a guy that was here to kick some serious ass, but all right, I like Chris Jericho. And now it's Sami Zayn, you're my best friend. And it's like, okay, you're both bad guys, and I bet you're using him or whatever. Now you're telling me that Kevin Owens, the guy that 2 years ago smashed Sami Zayn into the ground and broke him like a vase that we couldn't put back together, so the ref had to call for the bell, Now Sami Zayn's going to get the upper hand on this guy that's got a 60-pound weight advantage, a former Universal Champion, and now Sami Zayn's going to stab him in the back and get the upper hand? Get out of here. This character should not be losing matches to Shane McMahon. This character, and he did it at WrestleMania, yeah. Even in a tag environment, and it was the Daniel Bryan show. This character 2 years ago was pinning John Cena. Now he can't get over on Shane McMahon. Now this character is just bouncing from one friend to the other, and I think you have done, starting to do serious, again, irrevocable damage to the character. Because Kevin Owens, 2 years ago, would have looked Braun Strowman in the eye and gone, bring it on! And now he's afraid. And now he does it. Are you going to leave me alone with Braun Strowman? Oh my God! And I know he's a heel, but he used to be a different special kind of one.
Yeah.
And now Kevin Owens is soft as baby poo. He's just soft. That guy wouldn't go and challenge Brock Lesnar right now. The character on TV would literally be too afraid. And so if you want to panic about a guy that looked like he was going to be a tentpole all-time dude, well, now he's lost his championship in 2016 and hasn't demanded a shot back for it.
Right.
So you want to talk about panicking?
Yeah.
I'll panic if Kevin, I would say I would panic if Kevin Owens didn't want his Universal title back, but we're already there.
Yeah, but I mean, then by that logic, we got to panic about Finn Balor too.
Well, at least Finn has talked about it. He hasn't done anything about it, but he's talked about
it. Yeah, but that doesn't matter. Well, like, but he's never demanded it in the way that you want.
You're right, and I agree with that. But Finn Balor missed 6 months. Kevin Owens didn't. Kevin Owens just spent 6 months going around looking for something to do and a friend.
Right, but he shifted gears and put his focus on a different championship that he ended up winning.
What, the mid-card title?
Yeah. So here's the thing: you got to be consistent. You got to be consistent because, yeah, Finn Balor just did the same thing.
Right.
He never really challenged for his title.
But what I'd say to you is that Finn Balor's character hasn't been completely and totally abandoned the way that Kevin Owens...
Yeah, he's not the demon anymore.
Yeah, but...
So that's a character abandonment.
Yeah, but the demon thing doesn't bug me at all because I think it's lame.
But again, you can't pick and choose because that is an abandonment of the character. The abandonment of the character. Finn Balor, when he first got here and won that Universal Championship was, yeah, I'm this guy that is extraordinary, that can do extraordinary things. And when I'm pushed to that place, I can go there. And this demon is a representation of me pushing to that place. He has not pushed to that place since.
But what I would ask is, how many times have we done the demon on the main roster? Once?
Once.
Right? So,
but so
it was way fewer and far between. And what I would say is Finn Balor's always been two characters. There's always been the demon. There's always been the leather jacket guy. And leather jacket guy is the same dude as he's always been. He's still kind of funny, kind of coy.
But which character won the Universal title?
Well,
The demon won the Universal title.
Yeah, just like the same way demon won all the NXT matches then.
Right. So, again, that's a departure from the character.
What's going to be easier to get back to? The demon showing up randomly to win a championship or Kevin Owens feeling like a no-nonsense, all-business ass-kicker?
Both.
Because the demon can show up Monday. And if Kevin Owens on Monday goes, I'm mean and angry again, it's just like, well, you've been a pretty big pussy for the last 2 years. I got to be honest with you, Kev.
See, but the big thing with Kevin Owens is we see that on a regular basis with him. He powerbombs Shane McMahon into that weird heaving.
Yeah, right.
You know, so Kevin Owens has still maintained this. The issue that you're having is the in-between. Your issue is Sami Zayn. Your issue is Sami.
Yeah, I want him to get the hell away from Sami Zayn. I fully admit that.
Your issue is just Sami Zayn because Kevin Owens hasn't shifted, right? He's being tied down by the lighthearted nature of the Sami Zayn character. Because when Kevin Owens does snap and go to that Kevin Owens-y place, he's still powerbombing people onto the apron. He's still having people's chair.
I get you. You're going to tell me to stop fantasy booking and being disappointed. And you're right. But what I would think is, what did we talk about with The Undertaker? If The Undertaker lost to Brock Lesnar, something should have changed. An appearance, a style. Something should have changed, right? And so with Kevin Owens, when Chris Jericho wound up just being not worth it and he betrayed Chris Jericho, right? Something within Kevin Owens should have changed. No more friendships. No more trust.
You're going too far down a psychological
rabbit
hole.
No, I'm not, because these are characters.
Right,
why
but
would
WWE...
Why would he want to be Sami Zayn's friend again? Why? Why do you need a friend so bad? You're a no, you're an all business ass kicker. Why do you? No one else on TV has friends. You know who has friends? Tyler Breeze and Fandango.
Yeah,
are you Tyler Breeze and Fandango? Because they're friends. You look like an asshole because every time you get serious about something, you go, "But Sammy's my friend," and then you give a guy a hug on TV, and I don't even remember you facing John Cena anymore. So yeah. I think you're starting to do damage to the character because the character was awesome, and now I don't even know what it is. He's just some guy with buddies, and it's just I mean, panic is again a strong word, but this dude, out of Finn Balor and Bill Goldberg and Kevin Owens, I would expect Owens to go after his championship more out of the three of them.
And you know what? Out of all of them, he has the best excuse.
What?
Because Goldberg was the guy that beat him.
Right.
And so it's like, yeah, you can't. The WWE can't have him go after that title.
Right, but why couldn't he have gone after Brock?
Because it was Roman Reigns' flipping year.
Joe got a shot. Kane got a shot. Strowman got a shot. Why couldn't he get a shot?
Because he immediately got shifted over to SmackDown.
Yeah, and I just...
And was the U.S. champion and in a program with AJ Styles.
Yeah.
So...
I guess.
You know, none of the... There's... Your issue... Is your you don't like Sami Zayn?
Well,
I get it.
I don't like Kevin Owens needing friends. It's weird to me. It's weird that this guy is so obsessed with having friends. It's weird. So let me ask you: if you're not panicking about Kevin Owens, what would make you start panicking about Kevin Owens?
What would make me start panicking with Kevin Owens is if they separate the two of them, and then Kevin Owens just continues to lose in the mid-card.
I would panic about, if I were a big-time diehard Kevin Owens fan, I would panic if he doesn't have a one-on-one shot for a world title this year.
I would...
Because did he have a one-on-one shot for a world title in 2017?
No.
Because if he doesn't for two straight years, you can't look me in the eye and tell me he's the same guy.
Right.
You can't.
So the question I would then have is, because the big what if, and this does need to be brought up, is do you count the Intercontinental title against Seth Rollins?
As a world title?
No. But here's the thing. Brock Lesnar's going to hold this thing who knows how long, right?
Yeah.
So if he doesn't wrestle Brock Lesnar...
Well, Brock's going to drop in 2018. Brock's going to drop at Extreme Rules, Money in the Bank, or SummerSlam. No later than SummerSlam. And if Kevin Owens doesn't find himself... And again, I know you're going to say to me, man, that's rough. Man, that's rough because Brock Lesnar and all that stuff. And I'd be like, yeah, and look how much time he spent on SmackDown. He didn't wrestle AJ Styles, did he? Or Jinder Mahal, right? So it's... And you're right. Maybe it's tough because it's Brock Lesnar or whatever.
Yeah.
But if he didn't get a one-on-one title match in 2017, and then 2018 comes and goes, and it's just like, well, goddamn, man, you haven't got a world title match in 2 years? You're not the same guy.
Yeah. I'd put value in matches that are kind of stories above the title, right?
He's like not Austin, any of those.
No, yeah, it was Shane McMahon. All the Shane McMahon stuff last year was above
was
a title.
Bigger than the title?
Yeah, that's a big... So, like, Austin versus McMahon wasn't for a title sometimes.
Yeah, but I think that Vince and Austin, Kevin Owens and Shane McMahon were not.
Look, that might be an extreme case, but that's the show main story. That was the show's main story.
Yeah, and I get you that it was a big thing.
And so, because really, what would be better, right? A one-time shot where he loses against Jinder Mahal over that summer, or having a series of matches that had a lot to do with SummerSlam leading into WrestleMania.
I'm just saying that's how long was that program? 3 months?
No, longer than that, because it started at SummerSlam.
The whole program?
Yeah, because the whole thing started where Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens kept feeling like he was getting screwed by Shane McMahon.
Yeah.
And so he kept getting screwed out of these opportunities when he was wrestling for the WWE Championship and he was going to win and Shane McMahon pulls him off and, you know, he's not put on the Survivor Series team. And there were a lot, that story was a lot bigger than the championship because there can be stories.
Okay, and that's fine. So that story ended in April. And if we don't, for the next 8 months, that doesn't lead to a championship match of any variety, and he hasn't had one in over 2 years, there's just certain people that, you know, you can, it's like Bill Parcells used to say, you are what you are. If you can be like, oh, man, we're not an 8-8 team. It's like you won 8 games, you lost 8 games, you're an 8-8 team.
Right.
If Kevin Owens doesn't find himself getting a one-on-one shot for the title in 2 years, you're not a main eventer. Literally. You are literally not.
Right.
So that's when I think if we get to the 2019 Happy New Year show and Kevin Owens hasn't fought for a title in 2 years, panic. because then he has the same number of title matches as Curt Hawkins. And you're like, oh, come on, man. But yeah, but I'll tell you, oh, come on, man. You know what I mean? We booked him the same number of title matches as Curt Hawkins.
Yeah, but Curt Hawkins isn't finding himself in bigger story. Like, Curt Hawkins
is... I know he's not Curt Hawkins, but the point is you're either a main eventer or you're not.
Right, but again, in a world where there are stories that are not for titles that are main event stories.
Okay, but that doesn't last for 2 years. Because
he main evented Hell in a Cell.
Which one?
The last one.
2017?
Yeah, 17. Because he wrestled Shane McMahon in the Hell in a Cell.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Yep. So it's like,
I'm just looking for a former champion to get back in the championship main event.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Because, like I said, we're going to move on. But like I said, you either are in the main event, which makes you a main eventer, or you're not. It's a black and white thing.
Yeah.
You're either fighting for the title or you're not. And right now, he is not.
Yeah.
And he should
be. And again, you're painting it in such a weird black and white because John Cena hasn't fought for a title one-on-one. In over a couple years?
Sure, he has. He was the WWE champion in 2017. So,
no, he wasn't.
Yes, he was. He lost to Bray Wyatt, who...
For like a week.
Yeah, he lost to Bray Wyatt.
So technically for like 2 weeks.
Yeah, well, when Kevin Owens wins his 15th and 16th titles, then we'll talk about whether or not it's time to panic like we do with John Cena. You know what I mean? Like, John Cena...
But no, he's a prime example of... There can be other things that you can do that are important.
I completely agree. I just think those things tend to not last for 2 years.
But he's been in huge storylines.
Yeah, I know, and not for the title. And this is a former champion.
Yeah, you're hung up on a prop.
He's a prize fighter. I thought this was the prize he wanted. I thought when he showed up, this is what he told me his number one objective was. He's abandoned that.
Yeah, but that does, you know, John Cena was a thug in the beginning.
Uh-huh.
And he's not a thug anymore.
Yeah, you're right. And then he won 15 more titles.
Yeah, again, things change, and you're hung up on a prop.
If I don't know. I thought that's why we hated Brock Lesnar so much, is because he and the prop never show up, and the prop makes the matches, and the prop is this big, giant deal. So I get told that Brock Lesnar's a disgrace to the business because he and his prop never show up. But when Kevin Owens doesn't get it, it's no big deal at all.
No.
You can't work both ways.
See, and I'm not saying that, right? What I'm saying is that you're hung up that he's wrestled in WWE championship matches, right? He's wrestled in major storylines. But because he hasn't fit this one criteria, it's time to panic.
I think it starts adding up. I do. I think it starts adding up. You're either a main eventer or you're not. I thought he was a main eventer.
Yeah, and wrestling Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania is a main event slot.
I suppose. We'll see. Speaking of main eventing, somebody did main event SmackDown this week. It was a very happy Rusev Day for all, but this is certainly somebody that's come with his peaks and valleys. And Rusev is right now probably at a peak, but a valley could be right around the corner. Rusev, is it time to panic if you're a big Rusev fan? This is a guy that a few years ago had a tank to fight John Cena and now has an Aiden English to sing opera.
No, I don't think it's time to panic, but I think it's time to realize that the water has reached its level.
Okay.
This is who Rusev is. Rusev will get into this match, he'll get into the Money in the Bank, and he won't win. You know, he'll get close, but he won't win.
Yep.
You know, not in the same way that Dolph Ziggler has become that sort of guy, but kind of in the way that Dolph Ziggler's become that guy.
Yep.
I understand why Rusev won. And beat Daniel Bryan because we can't have Daniel Bryan in the Money in the Bank. Can't do it. Can't do it. And we'll talk about Daniel Bryan next. But Rusev won this. He's gonna, you know, this is the water level. This is the water level for Rusev. This is who he is. And so I think you just need to kind of come to peace with that.
Yeah, I don't think it's time to panic with Rusev. I think the word I would use is acceptance.
Yeah.
It's time to accept what Rusev is, which is, and I think finding the water level is a good comparison and fair. As a big Rusev fan, the silver linings to this, and we talked about it on Maltov in the morning this morning. We'll see you live tomorrow morning and all that plug and stuff. The good thing with Rusev is, like, look, guys, anyone,
right.
I do not care the name you throw at me. Anyone was going to lose that casket match to The Undertaker in Saudi Arabia.
Yes.
Anyone. Yeah. The ghost of the Ultimate Warrior, if we found a way to book him, would have done the favors to The Undertaker that night.
Yes.
Right? And so, Chris Jericho included, right? And so, now, you got to understand that he was selected to be the one to get buried by The Undertaker, which is a big, big deal and big thing,
right?
The Undertaker, I bet John Cena was psyched about WrestleMania 34.
Yeah.
Anybody that complained on behalf of John Cena losing in 2.5 minutes complained for a guy that didn't wind up complaining one bit about it himself. I'm sure he's the hardest thing for John Cena for that 2.5 minutes was containing the smile on his face.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? Because he's in the ring at WrestleMania with The Undertaker after a lightning bolt thing. Oh,
that was so much.
It was so cool.
So fun.
And so when it comes to Rusev, like, you got to look at the positive that he was allowed to just to be in the match. And like I said before, Rusev, anybody that qualifies for the Money in the Bank on SmackDown side of things could have been the one to pin Daniel Bryan.
Any of them could have.
And they picked Rusev.
Right.
Rusev's not only in the qualifier, but he pinned Daniel Bryan. You got to feel pretty good about that.
Right.
Do I think that Rusev's ever going to be a WWE champion? I don't.
Yeah.
I don't.
Yeah. He'll find himself. I think that we haven't seen. I think Rusev will wrestle for a WWE championship, but I don't think that it's. I don't think he's going to win.
Maybe. What I mean? Like, maybe. I can never. Now that we live in a post.
Jinder Mahal
world.
Yeah,
I can never tell you. KO had a WWE Championship match at Rumble and Fastlane. Did he? The Royal Rumble, he had a WWE Championship match? Okay, yeah. That's fine. Then let's take it from there. And if 2 years go by and he doesn't have another one, that's a long time. It's a long time. It just is.
Yeah, I'm just telling you, man, that there's got to be more criteria. Right? Because,
championship contender. I think that's totally fair.
That's fair to be one of them. It's fair to be one of the things. But if I don't get, I don't have championship stuff, but in that year I spent battling the boss, that's an equivalent storyline thing.
Right.
That's top end main event stuff.
Okay.
And so that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. And I don't think, but at no point in the conversation I've been like, yeah, no, he's dead in the water and basically unusable. I'm just saying the character that I think the fans fell in love with is all but unrecognizable now. And he's not even in the championship events when we've seen guys like Jinder Mahal and stuff. And I know that's a political move and things like that, but like, I don't see him in the same graces as he once was. But when it comes to Rusev, and just make this quick, don't panic about Rusev.
No.
Just accept that
he
this
is, what
is
he is.
The best case scenario is a wild, unbelievable WWE title run that's just not coming.
Yeah. He wins this Money in the Bank.
Right, and it would be short. And Rusev Day is very popular, but you can see they haven't leaned all the way in. But again, don't panic with Rusev because he's still around and doing stuff. And if the rumors are true that he was like, look, I want out of here, and they've been trying to accommodate him, that means there's some value that they see in him.
They do. I don't think that they would kick him to the curb. The later Jack Swagger, We the People sort of thing.
Remember that guy.
Yeah, but that's the type of push that I would expect Rusev to get at some point.
Okay.
That's
he might be getting it now.
He might be getting it now.
Yeah, he might
and
be
this might be it.
Right, exactly.
But that's kind of what I kind of, that's the parallel I would say. Because I wouldn't put him in the Jinder Mahal category because I think that he's more popular than that.
Oh, yeah, sure.
You know, so I would think.
Much more so.
Yeah, much more so. So I think that it's Jack Swagger. Jack Swagger, right when he found, you know, Wile E. Coyote there. Yosemite Sam.
Rusev has, like, the same odds to win a WWE title to me right now as, like, a Baron Corbin does.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
It might happen, but it probably
won't. You're
going
to get one.
Yeah.
You'll overachieve it, too.
Yeah, right.
You know?
Yeah, right. And I think just even the same certainty as Baron Corbin. Baron Corbin might win the WWE title.
Yeah.
He might. Probably not, but he might.
You're never going to win a Royal Rumble, but you might defend or lose the title at a Royal Rumble.
Yeah, like Big Cass. Big Cass might win the WWE title. He might.
I hope not.
Rusev's opponent that made him qualify for the Money in the Bank and a shot at a WWE title, to be fair, was Daniel Bryan. Daniel Bryan has kind of been up and down since his return as far as the win-loss column is concerned.
Yeah.
Great showing at the Royal Rumble, but didn't win. Did beat Big Cass, just lost to Rusev. Sort of talk about peaks and valleys. That's what Daniel Bryan's experiencing right now. If you're a big-time hardcore Daniel Bryan fan, the return, the pomp, the circumstance, the shirts, the cheers, but this is what it looks like right now. Would you panic if you're a diehard Daniel Bryan
fan? I would
say
you need to look at this and you got to take a different perspective because you shouldn't be panicking at all. Daniel Bryan should not, would not, could not be in the Money in the Bank. He can't. Can't do it. Because as soon as you give, right now WWE has not put Daniel Bryan in a position to make you think about a title, right? Because as soon as you do,
that's all you want.
That's all you want.
Yeah.
Because I said it when it
came back that he was coming back. WWE just got their top babyface back.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
And they need to keep that champagne, that cork on real tight, because as soon as that cork starts to pop off, it's gone.
Yep.
And we can't do it for the Money in the Bank right now.
Yep.
There's just a lot to be had. He's not the guy to win the Money in the Bank.
Remember his last match before his most recent first match back was the ladder match at WrestleMania 31.
Yeah.
And he won.
Because
he was in it.
Yes. Right. This guy has to win everything if there's something to win. And so the Greatest Royal Rumble, he won something without winning.
Yeah.
So it appeased that fan base, because everybody that loves Daniel Bryan got to be like, wow, Daniel Bryan was so great. He was awesome. He broke the record. But you don't care. It also helps that everybody likes Braun Strowman too. But you don't care that he didn't win, because he won something.
Yeah, because right? He achieved something.
Yep. Big Cass beat the bejesus out of him after the match, but he won the match.
Yep.
You know, so WWE is handling Daniel Bryan very well right now, and it was smart to have Rusev beat him so that we don't prematurely ejaculate.
Yes. So if you're a big fan of Daniel Bryan, we know, like, for example, like Nick's a big Daniel Bryan fan, but I think he's kind of kept his head on with this thing. But here's what I would say to you if you're a big Daniel Bryan fan who thought he would come back and light the world on fire right away. You are right that they would either had to be all in on that or not. And right away, if Daniel Bryan's going to work for 2 or 3 more years, then his big triumphant return to the title scene shouldn't happen in the first 6 months.
Nope.
Now what the hell do I do for the next 18 months?
Correct.
You know what I mean? And don't look now, and I know fans are not used to this, but WWE is telling you a story.
Yeah.
The story I see is Daniel Bryan is back, right? And he is still performing at a high level, and you can do the "you still got it" chance, but he has been gone for years, and maybe he's not all the way back.
Yeah, he's still got to work out the cobwebs.
Right, maybe Daniel Bryan is like working at a high level, but not all the way back. Maybe Daniel Bryan has some self-doubt as to, man,
am I really what
I used to be?
Yeah.
And so if Daniel Bryan has self-doubt and can't get over all the time, when he finally achieves something big, you'll be even more excited because look at you, you scrappy this underdog, you did it again.
This is also the only time that we're ever going to be able to potentially replicate WrestleMania 30.
Right.
Right? Because we essentially get to do the sumbitch all over again.
Yep.
Because if we have Daniel Bryan get beat up because he's a little guy and he's short, that's done on purpose.
Yep.
Big Cass making fun of him for being short and small is by design. Because they want that to be in the forefront of your mind with him, so that we can do this, the whole thing, all over again. Maybe not the 2 matches in 1 night thing to get the title, but yeah, Daniel Bryan, it's going to be a little bit more of a long play, and it's going to look bleak, but it's by design.
Right, and Daniel Bryan has never, to his credit, even been this freight train of unstoppability.
Right.
You know what I mean? Daniel Bryan...
He's going to find a way to overcome.
Not to keep going back, but Colin, so is Balor not a main eventer if you say KO won't be a main eventer if he doesn't fight for a title soon? Because Balor hasn't fought for a world title since SummerSlam 2016 and has been back for a year and hasn't felt close. Yes, Finn Balor's not a main eventer right now. How could I possibly tell you Finn Balor's a main eventer right now? Yeah, and Finn Balor's my favorite guy on Raw, maybe in the company. But yeah, you're right, Colin. I'm not being a hypocrite here. You're not going to not you, but no one's going to catch me in a hypocritical trap. No. Is Finn Balor a main eventer right now? No. You know why? Because he never goes in the main event. It's the same thing. What I would say about Kevin Owens is the difference is Kevin Owens used to be, and Kevin Owens had a 6-month universal title reign, and Kevin Owens pinned John Cena to, and is an NXT champion. I know Balor is too, but Owens has had more success on the main roster than Finn Balor. But yes, if you're being wouldn't you say about that Finn Balor? Yeah. They're in the same boat. Neither of them are main eventers right now. They're both good enough to be. But no, Finn Balor's not a main. How could he possibly be a main eventer? He doesn't go on last.
Yeah.
He hasn't fought for the title either. I could be self-aware in that regard.
Yeah.
So yeah, if you want to call me on that, challenge accepted. Finn Balor's also not a main eventer. It sucks. But again, it's Bill Parcells. We're not an 8-8 team. You won 8 games and you lost 8 games. You're an 8-8 team. Finn Balor's the main eventer. No, he's not.
Yeah. Again, the only thing I would say to that, to the contrary, is that Finn Balor, I would have loved a Finn Balor storyline that involves something else, right? You know, because you could categorize him as a main eventer without having to wrestle for the title.
If you need me to say that Kevin Owens is doing better than Finn Balor, you got it. Because yeah. Finn Balor is, I feel like every week Finn Balor feels lucky if he's on TV.
Yes, that is.
You know
is,
what I mean? So if you need me to tell you that Kevin Owens is doing a hell of a lot better than Finn Balor, struggling for TV time, you got it, dude.
Yeah, I just, the thing with Kevin Owens is I just think that it's not far away.
He could win the title this next week, and it would make sense. I just want him to. Or at the very least, go back to the guy that should be winning his titles.
Well, and I think I just want to see him. We need to get him away from Sami Zayn.
Yes, we do.
Because really, and this is, maybe we'll talk about it on the Patreon show.
When would you start panicking about Daniel Bryan? When would your eyebrows raise and go, oh man, this return isn't what I thought it was going to be?
He's got to start losing, right? Because right now, like, nobody really loses a Royal Rumble. Right, that's not really like a thing.
Yeah.
So,
you're like the last one.
Right. Unless you're literally the last person.
Yeah.
You know, with Daniel Bryan, you have to start losing and being picked on for being small. Right. Basically, what
we're not winning after you do. Like Big Cass did, but he won.
Right. Right. You know what I mean? Like, if Daniel Bryan is just like all of a sudden on a parade of you're small and stupid, and I'm gonna pound you into the ground, and then they pound him into the ground, then that's how we know it's not working. Because even when it felt its bleakest with the Yes Movement the first time, it was Shawn Michaels super kicking him in the face, Randy Orton cashing in a briefcase after Triple H pedigrees him. Yeah, right. You know what I mean? Like, there were ancillary circumstances as to why he wasn't succeeding.
Yeah.
But if he's just being, you know, it's kind of like the Dolph Ziggler thing. If I'm telling you that you're the biggest loser to ever be a loser, and then you lose...
You're a loser.
You're a loser.
Right.
Right? And so if you're small and I'm bigger than you and I'm going to beat you up, and then you're smaller than me and I beat you up, then, yeah, this isn't going that hot. But, yeah, if it's... I keep having to... If Baron Corbin is like, you're small and stupid and I don't like you, but then has to low blow him and, like, hit him with chairs and stuff because he won't go down... That's okay.
Yeah,
you see the difference.
I do. You're right. There's a huge difference. You're right, because that is when you panic about Daniel Bryan, when he starts missing TV for illegitimate reasons, not because his chest is a wide open gash and we don't want him to get syphilis. Because remember, one out of three people like feet and have herpes. And so if he starts missing TV for no goddamn good reason, and like you said, just starts losing matches and they just want you, like, you know, just go away. You know what I mean? Like, you're healthy, but we just didn't want you to go to Ring of Honor. Just go away. Then, yeah, maybe you could start panicking. But right now, Daniel Bryan's a compelling character who's doing good things, and he's going to be fine.
Yeah.
He is going to be fine, and it's not the time. If by the end of the year, Daniel Bryan has lost more than he's won and doesn't feel like it's building towards something triumphant, then, yeah, maybe they don't have a real plan.
Right.
Because with Daniel Bryan, they have never had a plan. Yeah. Never.
Well, this is the one time that they listen to the audience.
Right, but they've never had a plan.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They didn't know what the hell to do with world champion Daniel Bryan.
Oh, no.
They didn't have a plan. And so, yeah, with Daniel Bryan, I would panic if all of a sudden it's just like, how come he's losing all the time? And
it's just losing.
Right, and missing TV and like doesn't feel like he's on any kind of rhythm, and why is he back at all? If you got into that territory with Daniel Bryan, then you can panic, but not right now. Because that guy, sincerely, I think he's going to be just fine. Thank you for joining us. We hope you enjoyed the first edition of Time to Panic.
Yeah.
We could do this all night, and we know that there's suggestions you guys had, and maybe we could pray onto Patreon a little bit. Late Night Liam is coming up next, so you're listening live on NewAgeInsiders.com at 8 o'clock like you should be every week. Don't go anywhere. Stick around right here. Liam, what do you got on the docket?
I mean, I just traveled 13 hours. In a plane from the Middle East, and I have some stories. So we're going to talk about my time in Dubai.
Don't go anywhere. Stick around. The next time you hear from me will be on Maltov in the morning. If it's a weekday, that'll be on YouTube and Periscope, sometimes Twitch. We'll figure it out. By the summer, it's going to have a whole slot and a thing, and we'll be good to go. The next time you hear us, there's no pay-per-view this weekend, miraculously.
Thank God.
So the next show you'll hear from us is the Patreon show. You can become a Patreon by going to patreon.com/NewAgeInsiders. 5 shows a month, including one that you literally handcraft yourself. The 1NAI project is in full gear. Send those videos, those topics, those articles in. My name is Jason Maltov.
I'm Liam Stegert.
And I'm Bill Neville.
We're the New Age Insiders. Thank you so much for joining us live. Find us on Twitter and really all social media platforms except for Snapchat, because I don't get it. @ New Age Insiders, @ Liam NAI, @ Bill Neville, NAI. The website, NewAgeInsiders.com, has the Wrestling Network with DC and Doc Talk, the Salty Chips with Damian Salty G and Chip. We got the three count coming back soon. A new partner joining us later on this year. Big things coming for the 2018 live show of the year, including coming up in September. Wink, wink. And we'll let you know when we're allowed to talk all about that, because you have made us the premier place for wrestling fans to connect, discuss, and to be heard.
We out.
This morning.